All right. Sorry I missed y'all last Sunday, but I couldn't make it. But what does integrity mean to you? Doing the right thing.
Thinking the right thing.
Thinking the right thing, but not doing it.
Yeah, that would be true. At least I said it. Somebody else seems to think that way.
Behaving the right way. Do we ever stretch it? Try to make it work when we don't think it will work? And anything. I'm through. But today we're in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 36. But it's not an easy lesson or a hard lesson, so to speak, but talking about integrity and a little bit about stewardship in the church and church discipline a little bit. The first few verses, and starting at verse 36, talks about Joseph. Now, we know who Joseph was. He said he was a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And he sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, we'll stop right there. First, why do you think Joseph or Barnabas would do that?
They were trying to help the needy.
The church. Have you known the modern-day church to ever ask anyone to sell all your property and give it to the church to help the needy?
Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But as long as I've been a member, and I've been a member of Holland Avenue all my life, there's always been needs in the church, but this church has always stepped up and helped those. And that's what really the church is about, is helping others, meeting the needs of others. But by doing that, does that encourage other members to, I won't say maybe think that I can't do that, or can we take it and say, well, I can't financially do it, but can I show words of encouragement to someone? Is that part of it too? This is part of Joseph or Barnabas. This was his mode. This is what he wanted to do. And along the lines of stewardship, when you made that decision to become a steward to the church and do what it's biblically told us to do, did you experience or notice a change maybe in your life, in your mindset? We've heard testimonies over the years, and it's true, like, and Susan and I can share, when you struggle, you'd get your paychecks, you would sit down to pay your bills, and then there's no money left over. Well, but then you feel not the guilt, but I should be doing this. But when you make that decision to do what biblically it tells us to do, you do that first, and then you're still able to pay your bills. And you wonder, how? Well, God teaches us. It's a discipline in our lives. That's part of the Christian walk. Is it coerced? Are we made to do that? We shouldn't feel that way, but we should be willful to want to do that and help others. But not in the life of church life, but just normal everyday life. Are there people who see other people doing good and they become jealous? And then they feel like they want a little attention, but they try to do the right thing, but they do it in such a way that it's not, let's say, kosher. They're just doing it
the right thing in the wrong way.
Right. And that's what we see in the lesson today is after Barnabas had done this. Now, this goes in Acts chapter 5, the first six verses. Ananias and Sapphira, the husband and wife. And once Barnabas had did this, they saw the attention. I mean, it doesn't tell us what kind of attention Barnabas got, but would you really want to draw attention to someone who did a good thing? Now, if you're doing it to gain attention, you've got the wrong motive to start with. But Ananias, they had some property too, so they decided, well, we'll sell our property, and we're going to be like Barnabas, and we're going to give to the church. Well, they did, but they didn't give it all. They held some back. And this is where it gets interesting, is the writer points out to me in reading this that Ananias and Sapphira were intentional in their motive. They knew what they were going to do. They were just, like I said, trying to draw some attention to themselves. But their attitude and their action was wrong. Now, Peter called Ananias before him and he asked him about that. And why did you keep back a portion of the proceeds that you sold from your land? And Ananias said, well, I gave it all. Well, number one, he lied before God, something we shouldn't do. But it gets into a part of Christian life into where do we have spiritual warfare going on all the time? Satan is knocking on our door, trying to get us to change, trying to be corrupt. But with Ananias, what happens when you lie to God? Now, this is the question that I had is, does God inflict discipline on those who do wrong to get their attention? Sometimes. Does God invoke discipline to show that he's, let's say, the main man? I'm in charge.
And it's like parents, and they, you know, you tell them that line that force your kids don't believe that. This hurts me more than it does you. But I mean, he disciplines us in ways that gets our attention. And the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit's in you, you have a conscience. I mean, do these people, I just wonder, do they even have a conscience? Now, if I had sold that and then told Peter that I had to keep part of it to feed my children or take, you know, I think the situation would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I needed the money. I needed it too, but I was also willing to share. But they just outright just kept it because they just wanted to keep the whole amount. So that's kind of like the tithing thing, like you were saying. That's a personal choice between you and the Lord. But He works in you to where He can show you that if you give part of it, I'm going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
He would have taken care of them if they had a lot. They wouldn't have died.
But have you heard the argument? Well, I've been faithful all my life. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Why did this happen to me?
I mean, well, we all ask that about other circumstances in our life.
Yeah.
I've been in church all my life. But a lot of people I care about hurt. A lot of people you pray for hurt.
But in chapter 5, verse 3, it said, Peter asked Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept some from yourself, some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And it says when he said that, Ananias heard that, he fell down and died. Now, was that a warning to the rest of the church, the rest of the community, that I'm in charge? Don't deceive me. Don't lie to me. You'll see what happens. Or is it, can we say that God disciplines those he loves? Now, are there other ways that Satan can get in our minds or in our thoughts to commit acts that affect the church? And how should the church deal with someone who is doing that? I mean, it's scriptural, it's biblical. Someone wrongs the church or wrongs you in the church. You go with someone, you confront them, ask them to forgive, whatever. You can go back, but if they don't choose to, then you're supposed to wipe your hands of them. Do churches do that today? That's it.
That's it.
I read something along those lines. I mean, it's a situation that, yeah, you can say I've repented, but you've got to do more than that. And that's the gray area, so to speak. How much more do I have to do?
Your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, too, going to somebody that's doing something in the church and approaching them like him. And this is really sad, but it's a government thing. I mean, you cannot infringe on people's rights anymore. So if I'm doing something wrong in the church and you come and talk to me about it, that's fine, we've talked, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to change. And people this day and age are so quick to come back at you about, that's my, you know, that's my right. And it's sad because the government is, we see it all the time. Well, and seeing the case in point about the government, too. The second thing is he above being treated that way because he is the governor, you know, versus just an ordinary, everyday citizen?
I don't know the answer.
But you're the teacher.
No, I'm just a teacher. I'm just the messenger.
Given much is expected, you know?
Right.
That's true.
So. Right. I mean, it would be, I'm just a Sunday school teacher, but me standing up here telling you there's no sin in my life. Were you?
And what do I tell him? I'm sorry. He's not perfect like I am.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody perfect. But also, Ananias, I guess, I mean, if you don't think about it, he involved his wife. Yep, because Peter called her in. She didn't know what had happened. She didn't know that Peter had confronted him and he died. And he asked her the same things. She thought their secret was hidden, kind of what we're talking about. And when he approached her and asked her the same things, she died too. And I thought about this, and I think it was Brother Ken last week or week before, talking about how people think that the Old Testament is forgotten. We just rely upon the New Testament. But this writer points out, it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's, I'm going to read more than one verse of it. It starts in verse 13. It says, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah." Well, even in the early days, they had warnings. Don't test him. So, what happened?
They tested him.
Then it talks about were Ananias and Sapphira really genuine believers?
You know, if they were, they should have known you don't lie to God.
It's true. But are there people who are believers or confess to be believers that will lie and try to get away with it?
Because you can always go back and ask for forgiveness.
But that's the key. How many times can you keep repeating the same action and getting the same redemption? Because the writer, and the point is, and we always know that we don't lose our salvation through an act of disobedience. Salvation is a gift from God. But when we do disobey, we tend to lose a little bit of our eternal reward. Because we know, and we've talked before, you don't earn your salvation by merit or what you do. And I think some people in church get confused with, I'm here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I do this and I do that, but there's other little parts of my Christian walk that I don't do, but these little things that I do should overshadow this. But doesn't work that way sometimes. Because we can say through this, or this writer has a point here. What should be our motivation for obeying God?
Love of God.
Look
what he did for us.
An eternal reward that he's promised us. But like you said, look what he did for us. And let's go back 2 weeks ago, Easter Sunday, when he gave his son who died on the cross for us. Jesus' life should be the main focus of how we should live our lives. And he has a comment here. And I'll change the words a little bit. We are in the world, but not of the world. And I think that's what's difficult a lot of times for us is, I mean, should it be difficult once you walk away from these doors and you go back to work and you go out in public to be the same person that you are here today? Shouldn't be. What do you do when you're confronted with somebody who's not a believer outside, who wants to get under your skin and change your thoughts and make you angry? How do we control that? Or have you been tempted? Oh, come on, go with us after work. We're just going to go over here. It's so-and-so's birthday. You know, we're going to go to this place. We know you don't partake, but just come go with us. Now, is that right or wrong? That's one of those areas. What if you had been witnessing to somebody real strong and they saw you in this particular place and they thought, well, you tell me you're a Christian, but I saw you in this place. Why were you? You're no different than I am. But the contrast between Barnabas and then Ananias and Sapphira is, can we as Christians sometimes become prideful and want to self-promote ourselves? It's hard sometimes. Are churches affected by members who are like that, that their only purpose of coming is to prove to you that I can write the biggest check, I can do this, but I want to be recognized for doing it? And outside of the church, their life changes.
That's like the politicians. You know, you never see a hero in church until they start running for something, and all of a sudden they're there the most and write the biggest checks.
Is it old joke that goes, how can you tell the politician lying? His lips are moving.
That is true.
I used to have a next-door neighbor years ago, and he never went to church, so he would run for political office, and then, like you said,
there he was.
In church every time he goes.
But in this situation, in this story, would you question why God put Ananias and Sapphira to death for the act that they committed?
God put fear in the rest of the people.
Do you think a little church discipline was initiated? I mean, I'm not... Is it right or wrong?
But they didn't do this just for the glory that they gave something to the church. They did it to bring glory on them.
Right.
To show that they were. And that was a lie, too.
The whole episode
was built on the fact that they wanted the attention.
Yeah, I wanted... Same attention you gave Barnabas. I want to be just like him, but they were not.
Barnabas did it out of goodness of his heart because he wanted to.
Well, that's what he was taught, you know, and that it's not that the early church, from what I read, they didn't demand that, but their teachings and their faith and their beliefs were, if you could help someone, Get rid of everything you've got and give it to the church, because the early church was about helping the needy.
Well, and as apostles, you know that they saw the poverty problem, and the needs were so great in the areas that Jesus and the apostles were. You know, I mean, example, you know that when they fed the 5,000, there were people there that were hungry for not only for the word, but they were physically hungry.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of them, so... Being an apostle, he saw things that, you know, I mean, just like pastors see things when they go to and visit, or hospitals, or they see things that we will probably never see or experience because of So that's the way the apostles were, whereas the husband and wife, evidently, they probably never did without. You know, they owned land. That was a big deal.
Big deal in that day.
So, you know, they probably never suffered or went hungry, maybe, or needed something and couldn't have it. So they didn't see, they hadn't seen what Barnabas and the apostles had seen through their ministries.
Could you...
That's what's so sweet about Holland Avenue Baptist Church, is any time with the food pantry that it gets low, and I ask Holland Avenue Church, I need this, or I need this, the pantry is low. Y'all just bring it in, And I know it's a burden, because everything is getting so expensive nowadays, and y'all are just so good for just, you know, whatever I ask, y'all just bring it in. The Lord just blesses you. I know He does. And I have a lot of people that come in that I know they're hungry.
Yeah.
I see it sometimes. And then I have some people that are just really greedy.
Yeah,
I never let them in the pantry. The food pantry.
You wouldn't have anything.
I just said all through the Bible that in the biblical days that they sold their grain and their grapes for the fatherless and the widows.
Right. Yeah, anything that they didn't pick up to leave. But if you think about, and I know I've mentioned this before, and people might think, well, I can't be like Jesus. I mean, we're supposed to be just like Him. Would you want to be like Jesus? He didn't own a home. He went around doing His ministry work, and people took care of Him. Did He have a large bank account?
He don't have the clothes on His back.
True. So you think about missionaries that go out. They give up everything they've got, pretty much, to go and witness to others. You know, would we be capable of doing that?
There's in the back of the Sunday school book, and you read that back there about the missionaries that were, I forgot where they were, and they were captured, and they were gone for several years, and her husband was killed, and her kids were someplace else, and eventually she went back and has begun to mourn when the folks that had captured her husband and kept him. It's a nice, in the presence of mine enemies, it's very bad. Good lesson.
But don't you think he made us, that's the first thing, so we are, and He made us all different, and we all have different emotions, we have different ambitions, and we all have different hearts. So I think He knows, He touches the people that He knows, that the missionaries, that when they give up everything, He doesn't have to worry about them going back on them. Does that make sense? Barnabas and like the disciples, you know, we'll never know the whole story of the disciples. We just know the hit and the miss of the ones that, you know. But they never reverted back, I guess, to their life. Is that, you know,
they just walked away from
exactly
everything.
That's what. But now, of course, the ones that, you know, misbehaved is really specific in the Bible. But the others, did they ever go back? Did they ever go back to the boat? Did they ever go back to, you know, or did they, when He chose them, He knew that they would be there to the end of their lives. And so then it just went on and on. So it's the same thing with us. He has a plan for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like His disciples, you know. I was a fisherman. I gave up my career to follow You.
But the Bible don't tell us, did you ever get tired of being a disciple and decide to go back and get on your boat? We don't know
that.
When He chose them, He knew, because He already knew, He knew they would remain apostles till they died.
But do you think anybody ever questioned why Peter took it upon himself to do what he did? What gives you the right to question Ananias and Sapphira about the land that they sold? But Peter being Peter and the teachings and his following, he knew they had done wrong. So he just confronted them about their wrong. And it didn't turn out. But, I mean, along those lines, close with this one statement. We all have to make a daily decision to fear God and serve Him with all our hearts. Now, the word fear, do you fear God? Or are you reverent of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's a respect, yeah. I mean, I don't say I walk around every day, you know, shaking and looking around like, okay, God, are you fixing to get me? But I should be an example of Him every day. But getting along the lines of helping people, how many of us know of people, not even in the church, but who help others, but nobody else knows about it? Just them and the person they helped.
It's supposed to be that
way.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. O'Connor. Yeah. That's all right, Miss Lee. I'm through. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You're welcome.